wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance with you, along with RJ here. If you want to get in the show, come on, 713-780-3776, or you can tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at R got no J. And we got a win to talk about today. Got those Rangers out of, beat it, Rangers. Another silver boot, Lance. Another silver boot in six straight silver boots. How do you feel about six? Is this one of the great accomplishments in sports history?
Feels good. Feels good to dominate another team in the state. Feels good to be their father. It feels good to show that you are the alpha, that you are the one who is going to run the pod in the state of Texas. So, yeah, it feels good. I wouldn't put it up there as one of the great accomplishments, what with, you know, titles for the Astros and Rockets. And so I'm not going to, of course, the Texans have a lot of division titles, like three or four. So, yeah.
What is greater, that the Texans have more playoff wins in their existence than the Cowboys do since the Texans were born, or six straight silver boots?
One of them was Connor Cook. That doesn't count. That was like XFL game or something. So I'm going to say the silver
boots. What do you mean? It counted as a playoff win. I mean, it wasn't great.
Didn't he get kicked out of the XFL for not being good?
He didn't get kicked out. He just wasn't.
He wasn't good enough for the XFL.
Yeah, well, he was.
I don't know if I'm counting that one.
They did beat the
Bengals a couple times, though.
Yeah. With JJ intercepting a pass.
They beat the Bills. That one time, Deshaun was terrible except for one play, and that one play was spectacular.
Yeah.
And they won.
Who caught that touchdown pass on that?
Easy. That would be Corey Bradford.
No, Corey Bradford.
Kevin Walter.
He didn't catch any playoff passes because he was with David Carr.
I mean, it's obviously not D-Hop because you wouldn't lead with that question if it's D-Hop. So who would it be? Would it be, I don't know. Who caught it?
I forget. Remember, it was a backup.
It was somebody who wasn't even supposed to be in the game.
Yeah, he wasn't.
I heard from a friend of mine on the team that there was a screw up. That Bill O'Brien actually screwed that up, and that player was not supposed to be in the game who caught that touchdown. I need to look at who that was because that guy was not. He didn't play very often, and everyone's like, "Wow, Bill O'Brien had that guy in." Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be in. And they were flipping out that he was in the game.
It was Carlos Hyde.
They caught the touchdown? No, I don't think so. I think it was a wide receiver.
It was a running back.
Or maybe a running back, but not Carlos Hyde, though.
No, I know. I'm looking at the box score, though, and it says Carlos Hyde caught that touchdown pass with 4:37 left in the game. 5-yard pass from Deshaun Watson.
No. This is a long play.
Yeah, I know.
So it's not that play. It must not have been a touch. It
must have been a first down, yeah, and then Carlos Hyde got it. Yeah.
Yeah, because Carlos Hyde was not the guy. It was like a third string guy.
No, right. I'm going to find it. I got to find it now because I asked you the question and I had no idea.
Yeah, I got the play-by-play right here just because it's just driving me absolutely bonkers. But I'll find it. I'll find it in a play-by-play.
Right. Anyway, so got another silver boot, which is, you know, when you start piling them up, and it's just, you know, a great sports accomplishment to beat the Rangers. It's the Rangers. I mean, of all of the, you know, when the Rockets beat the Mavs, when the Rockets beat the Spurs, if the Texans beat the Cowboys, I say if the Texans ever beat the Cowboys, which 19-10, and then, you know, you know, those are better accomplished. It's the Rangers. They suck year in, year out. You know what, though? With Simeon and a little left-handed guy, he wouldn't, you know, if they could just start getting guys, if they could just start buying guys, because they obviously suck at drafting and developing players. If they can just keep on buying guys, they might be good someday. You know, in about 8 or 9 years, the Rangers might actually be a good team someday.
Remember when they were rumored to be in the Carlos sweepstakes?
Yeah.
For just a little bit?
Yeah. But, you know, sorry. He went to the Twins, and now they're scuffling to get there. So Dusty explained the Mancini thing yesterday. You heard that.
Yeah.
Let's hear.
It's. Let me tell you something. What you're about to hear from Dusty confirms everything that you have been thinking it was. Dusty confirmed it all yesterday.
Yeah, so here's Dusty before the game talking about playing time for Trey Mancini.
Well, it depends on who's pitching for us. If I got Framber pitching, then, you know, I need you. He's Golden Glove. There's only one Golden Glove. You know what I mean? And if I got a fly ball pitcher, you know, he only played 13 games in the outfield in Baltimore before he got here. You know what I mean? And so I got to play my best fly ball guy out there. And he played right field in Baltimore because it's a short porch, so I got to play him more here in left field. But what do I do with Yordan, who wants to play outfield some? And McCormick and Myers, who I'm trying to get going, you know what I'm saying? And we got, he'll find a way to play.
He'll find a way to play. He can't find it. You got to find it, Dusty.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, listen, Aledmys Díaz deserves playing time the way he's hit. There's no question about that. He should be out there. But Aledmys Díaz can play anywhere. So all of those things that he explained, Fromber's a ground ball pitcher, right? So now you can put him out in left field yesterday. Because Fromber, all those excuses that he said, he's got a short porch in left field. He's got a ground ball pitcher, so he doesn't have to worry about that. He can't play him. He can only play Dubon. Dubon is the only person that can play when Justin Verlander is pitching. He's the only player. Now, when Justin Verlander pitches in the postseason, are you telling me Mauricio Dubon is going to start in center field? Is that what you're saying to me?
No, it'll be Jake.
Well, maybe. I mean, because he loves Dubon. Listen, Dubon has started.
Dubon is better than Jake right now.
Dubon is better than Jake right now, the way
Jake's playing.
I like the way Jake went to right field yesterday. Maybe that'll wake him up a little bit. You know, Acuña as well. They went back-to-back to right field, which was really mental.
I just think it's mental with him. I mean, certainly there's teams obviously have a feel for how to pitch him now. I think it's a combination of that and the mentality of it all. Because you see Jake reset with his hands when he recognizes breaking pitch. He shows an ability to sit back with his hands, be patient, and take the ball to left field, you know, pull it, being patient. He shows an ability to go the other way when he needs to. He flashes good hitting, like, from a technical standpoint, he'll flash some hitting talent. It's just that right now, mentally, it's in his headspace. By the way, in headspace, Taijuan Jones was the running back who was in the game that shouldn't have been in the game.
That was it.
They ended up getting the catch, and it led to a field goal that won the game. Okay, now that we're done with that, Dusty's comment on Taijuan Jones, on Mancini and how they're going to play it. You know, I get it to an extent, but like you said, right now Fromber is third in the league just by a tiny little hair in home runs per nine innings. It's Max Fried is .39, and you got Alcantara's .43, and Fromber's .44. Gausman is .459. Fromber has only allowed 7 home runs all year long. All year long, his whip is 1.13. So when you look at that, it's like, I mean, Christian Javier's whip is lower than that. Of course, Justin Verlander's whip's incredible, but Javier has a whip
Fromber walks guys.
Fromber walks guys. Yeah, Fromber walks guys, which is why his whip total is 1.13. 1.13 isn't going to blow you away, but how does he have an ERA of 2.73? Here's how. he doesn't allow home runs. He keeps the breaking pitches.
Well, everything is on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, he's.
I think he's
really
number one
control.
By far on ground ball percentage.
Oh, he's got to be. I can look that up, but yeah, he's.
Yeah,
be.
That's easy to look up. So yeah, Fromber with 20 quality starts this year, unbelievable. And the you know the he's got the best stretch and consecutive. I think it's 17 or is it 17 or 18 now? Consecutive quality starts. I mean, he's just been fantastic, just fantastic. And there's we'll hear sound. As a matter of fact, Brandon Backe was talking about the rotation in the playoffs. We'll hear from him in a little bit. But let's get back to this lineup thing for a second. Not only did Dusty talk about Mancini, but listen to Dusty talking about who he's playing and getting these new guys into the lineup.
I'm trying to put guys where they're most likely to succeed and try to get the guys that were here to try to get them going too, because the guys that are here are the reason that we are where we are.
That right there.
There it was.
That's the whole thing right there. Is Dusty's loyalty to the guy. And I knew it. And listen, we've been saying this. We've been talking about this for a while now. It is, and Dusty's loyal, and he's loyal to a fault. And I think it kind of stinks, too. I think it kind of stinks. One, it's good because these are the guys that got Dusty here. These are the guys that got Dusty, for the most part, to the World Series last year. Dusty has a place in his heart for these guys. He knows them longer. All of those things. He's been with them. They love him. It's natural. But when you bring in new guys, you know what? Those guys are part of the team too. You cannot just think these are my guys and now these are the new guys. You can't do that if you're a manager. And that's exactly what he's doing. Yeah, you guys are nice. You know, it was nice additions, but these are my guys here. You just can't do that. And that kind of sucks for Mancini and Vasquez and for now Will Smith. He can get into it because there's plenty of relievers that'll get in and out. There's just not enough with all the talent that Dusty has. It's hard to make out these lineups. It is. I get it. It's hard to make out these lineups. And you want to get and he talked about hey, I got to get Myers going. I got to get him going. You know what? I'm going to keep on putting him out there because I got to get and. My question is why? I get it, but he's so devoted to Myers that it's like, wow. You know, he's talking about how he hit last year. Now he hasn't hit this year, but I got to get him going. Okay, but maybe he's not going to get going. Maybe his OPS of 5-something is just not good enough. And sometimes that happens, but not with Dusty. Dusty is going to play him until he gets going. And that might be never. It might be never. But I gotta appreciate Dusty's loyalty to the guys. I just think it sucks for the new guys that they're sitting there going, wow, why did we come over here? You know, why did they want us here?
Well, because you don't have a chance. I mean, you don't have a choice. It's a trade.
Yeah, but why did the Astros want us here?
Well, I mean, this isn't new. Dusty is, well, he just confirms what you think.
He had never said that out loud.
And listen, that's a very old school approach. It's frankly a managerial approach. It's something you would expect to see from a lot of managers, but especially a manager who played in the era that Dusty did. And what's ironic, of course, is that there's static lineups. Like, we knew what the lineup would be every single day back in the day. There was not going to be, you switch a guy from one spot in the lineup to another spot. That was like crazy. Load management was not even a thing. You got pinch hits, and that's it. If you didn't play, Denny Walling was the only guy I grew up watching that I knew that he was going to get some reps at third base for Art Howe, might get some reps in the outfield. Bill Spires was the guy that played multiple positions, even since we've been doing the show. But Dusty comes from an era where I think Dusty is an emotional guy. I think he has an emotional attachment to a guy who was a Gold Glove winning leader in batting average last year in Yuli Gurriel, a guy who's been clutch multiple times. I get the attachment. I really do. I get that attachment to him. But some of the other attachment is a little bit weird about how he handles outfield, because I can't really figure out the attachment with some of that.
Well, we'll hear from him on it was kind of – His justification for some of his lineups was really eye-opening, and his thoughts on OPS were a little eye-opening. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about Chastain Ford, my peeps over at Chastain Ford. You know what? I just love what they do. It's the kind of integrity that you want whenever you're dealing with a business. And, you know, there are some businesses out there that don't have this integrity. And I'm going to tell you this. It's all about that. One of the first things that they'll ask you when you go to Chastain Ford is, where do your payments have to be? So we're going to get you there. Where do your payments? Because I don't want you choking. I swear, they don't want you choking on these. They're not going to upsell you ever, ever, ever. No markups, no add-ons. They're not going to make you take the bedliner or the leather seats. They want to get you in the price that you have to be at, and they're not going to add stuff on like the other dealerships do. They're also always, always, always going to give you the best in service that they possibly can. It's a lock. You're part of the Chastain family. Now, the order banks are open. F-150s, Bronco Sports, Explorers, Rangers, The Edge. What do you want to order? No, you will not pay MSRP. They are going to get you the rebates that you possibly can, as opposed to the other dealerships that are going to add $5,000 or $10,000 on. You're going to build it your way, and you're going to get the best price you can. And you're going to love the Chastain Ford deal. You're going to love the people there, too. ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. What is that, RJ? What is that what music you're playing?
So it's the Foreign Exchange, Take Off the Blues.
Nice. Let's see. People want a nice, mellow morning, right, on their drive. There are people out there that are, you know, cutting you off in traffic.
Let me have my headphones on. I've got this. I didn't know this that you're playing this.
That's nice.
This is one of my jams on my. Although this is the instrumental version. He's got a nice voice too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to save one on my playlist for you.
I'm looking at my Twitter feed right now, Lance, and it's. Yeah. It's the FBI sought classified documents related to nuclear weapons in the Mar-a-Lago search.
Mm-hmm.
And trending, that's trending. Trending is Mond. What is that Kellen Mond is trending? And then trending is Davis Mills. Man, what Davis Mills?
What did he do this time?
Who said I don't he's know.
People who said love he's the top some... quarterback in the draft class last year this time or whatever?
All of a sudden,
he might be. I'm just
training camp starts. Everybody's on the Davis Mills train.
I'm just We've telling been on you right for a now. While. Davis Mills must ball out at an extraordinary level this year.
He better.
I mean, at an extraordinary level. let's see. I'm looking at how he's trending right now, and it's nothing. Well, it's nothing too crazy. Well, here's Patrick Storm, who's a big Texans fan, saying Davis Mills plays football this weekend. And then he's got a Post Malone video where he's dancing.
Davis Mills is not playing football this weekend. He's not playing.
Davis Mills will play a couple of series against the Saints in their first preseason game, according to Lovie Smith.
Oh, okay.
So you know something that Lovie doesn't know?
No, I'm just thinking, why? Okay.
Yeah,
is Tom Brady going to play? Is Tom Brady going to play? No, he's taking 11 days off. So why is Davis Mills playing if Tom Brady's not playing?
He's not Tom Brady, despite what Twitter would have you believe.
Okay. Well, if Tom Brady can take 11 days off, I'm sure Davis Mills doesn't have to play.
But Davis Mills is going to play against the Saints per Lovie Smith, which is the norm for starting quarterbacks. Starting quarterbacks usually, it used to be in the first game they would play the first quarter, and in the second game,
first half.
They'd go a little. Sometimes, actually, in the norm was the first couple series, maybe the first quarter. The second game would be first into the second. The third game was usually they'd play the entire first half.
Right. And then maybe come out for the series after the. So that they get accustomed to coming out.
Right. We saw that with the Texans. And in the fourth game, you don't play at all. things have changed now. As you mentioned, Tom Brady, the Tom Brady situation is a situation that is, I think, it's a predetermined situation. Honestly, this is the second time it said personal matters is why Tom Brady will not rejoin a team until after the second preseason game. What I would guess, if I had to put money on this, is this is an agreement that was come to before Tom Brady decided to come back to the Bucks. Hey, I want to spend this time with my family. This is what I'm going to do if you want me to come back. And the Bucks said, yeah, of course, you can do that. We don't even need you in camp.
It's highly unusual.
Highly unusual. So is Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a highly unusual player to the point of being the greatest that's ever played the game at the position. A multi-year winner and a guy who had retired and came back from retirement. And I'm absolutely 100% positive that this is part of an agreement that was had between the team and Tom.
It was agreed upon before he came back.
Yeah, it is very, very unusual to see this, but this is an unusual player relative to who he is. With that said, I thought this was fascinating, and I don't know if it's intentional or if it's a read-between-the-line situation where a player is a little ticked off. I'm going to read you what Devin White said. I'm going to read it for everyone else then. What Devin White said, now, if everyone else on the team, if the team knows that Tom's got that it's really just an agreement he had, it could be a situation where the team doesn't really know the specifics, but only front office management and coaches know. Well, here's what Devin White, starting linebacker and the clear-cut alpha of that talented defensive unit, said. He's a grown man, White said of the 45-year-old. You know, growner than a lot of us in the locker room. And, you know, he's a human. At the end of the day, he's got personal problems going on. But he's a guy that's been doing this for a long time. He don't need to be here. Now, I'm about to follow up with something else. But he said he's got personal problems going on. All right.
Right.
Personal matters, personal problems are way different things. He went on to say, more than football, you know, we're praying for whatever he got going on as a human being. Okay, Devin White paints a more cryptic picture where he basically is said that, you know, now when he says he's more grown than us, I don't think that's a personal shot or just a like, I mean, he's a grown man, he's more grown than us, meaning I guess he gets special privileges on this thing. I don't know if this is pissing Devin White off or not. I think clearly Tom Brady does not have personal problems. It's a personal matter, meaning they don't want to say what it is, but Tom Brady's taking time off. Maybe he had a vacation. You know, frankly, this could be a vacation he already had planned that his wife had planned previously. Like,
maybe.
No, you promised that we were going to do this. You said you're retired. We are going here in August. This may just be something like that where he can't get out of something. And he goes, hey, I've got to.
Is he going hiking? Do you think he has to go hiking?
He probably does. Oh, yeah.
You do? You think
Tom
that?
Tom Brady? Absolutely.
Do you
Tom Brady's
think his,
an outdoor guy.
Do you think his kids only eat cheese quesadillas?
No. His kids only have green juice.
That they drink green juice?
Yeah. Craig, Tom Brady's kids are probably fed. Yeah, look at Tom Brady's training regimen. Are you kidding me? Tom Brady's kids probably.
What if his kids are picky and only eat cheese quesadillas?
It's too bad. They can be picky and say and take celery out of the green juice. That's what their choice is.
No, God,
yeah,
we
Tom
can't take
Brady's
celery
personal
out.
Trainer. Ooh, celery's an atrocity against humanity. Let that stuff stay on the ground. Never touch it again. It should be destroyed. They should,
you don't like celery?
Books, you should
it's got
celery.
No taste. What are you talking you about? Celery
no
has
taste.
Zero taste.
Celery is terrible. It's got a terrible taste.
There's
rice
no
has,
taste.
Rice has no taste. Celery has a distinctive, horrible flavor that ruins things. You're about to find out. Celery is in that same category with raisins. Just a very small amount of people like celery. I get that celery is used in the Trinity, which would be celery, onions, and green bell peppers in cooking.
In salads.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
Why would you put celery in a salad? For God?
Oh, no,
I've
it's
had
excellent.
It in a salad before.
Oh.
It's an automatic pick around.
In my chicken salad, I put pecans,
terrible.
Celery, and raisins.
Oh,
and it's Unbelievable how good.
Horrible. Unbelievable. First of all, immediately put cranberries in for raisins. That's cranberries. The first thing you can
and
do.
Cranberries, yeah.
Okay, but no, then leave out raisins. Tell you what, do me a favor. Yeah. Bring the sugo, leave the chicken salad.
No, chicken salad's the best chicken salad ever. You don't know nothing about it.
No, that sounds awful.
You have
I'm fine
zero.
With the pecans, but the raisins and celery, why would you ruin chicken? Why would you do that to the protein?
Listen, you don't
honestly,
know nothing.
Saying,
okay,
I'm just telling you right now. What you're saying you make, is one of okay. You put mayonnaise.
You're not
going
to make
right?
me go to your brisket,
put,
are you? You're not going to make me go to
you. Put mayonnaise in it, right? You got.
Oh yeah.
Okay, you are combining three of the most reviled ingredients known to man: celery, raisins, and mayonnaise. Now, yeah. Mayonnaise to me is fine in chicken. Mayonnaise is fine.
You have
in,
to have mayonnaise.
Yeah,
in
mayonnaise
chicken
is
salad.
Fine in moderation. You don't go crazy with mayonnaise. But celery is the flavor. I think you're highly underrating how bad celery tastes. And raisins people hate. You know that. You have to know this, right?
You don't want me to go to your brisket, do you?
You can
you
go to it if you
that,
want.
You?
You've never had it.
Okay.
You've
I
never
saw
had it.
It. I
you've
saw
never
that.
Had it.
And
celery
everybody saw
it. Celery
tastes
good on tuna sandwich. That's not true.
Yes, it's
Ian
true.
Ian Rappaport's reporting Tom Brady had to go sit in the blue bonnets. That's not
no,
true.
No, that was John McClain did that. It not could be. Tom Brady.
I had to once, too. You don't remember? I took that picture one time. My wife was driving. Hey, let's go look at the blue bonnets. I'm like, okay. This is my literally first year of marriage. She goes, oh, okay. Let's go out there and look at them. Okay. And then before you know it, okay, sit down. We're taking pictures. What? It was a whole thing. It was a plan.
But you
it
won't
was
even
a trick.
You won't even feed your kids a whole steak. That's you. I don't want to talk about food with you.
No, my kids get steak, but if what are you talking
about?
How about
buy a steak so that your kids can actually have one?
My kids get whole steaks, but my kids, when they're 9 years old, aren't getting whole-ass steaks because you know what would have happened? Half a steak left on there. You ain't throwing away. I ain't throwing away the steak.
Oh,
and my kids don't eat leftovers. They claim
you
they're going to, and they never do.
Eat it the next day. You warm it up with two fried eggs, and you got steak and eggs. Are you kidding me? There's always got to be leftover steak. You don't know anything. That's unbelievable.
Leftover steak. How about you eat your steak? How about
how
we do that?
You have it left
what,
over, and then you got
steak
and eggs tomorrow morning.
Well, no, thank you.
You have no idea about
this is
nothing.
An atrocious, but this is one of your worst segments that you've ever done.
You
the celery take by Lance Zierlein is absolutely correct. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
No, oh, Kevin. Kevin doesn't. Is it Kevin from The Office? Is it Kevin from The Office? I'm not going to listen.
It's Kevin Williams.
Okay.
White people salad, weird dog, says Childish Altuve. That's not my salad, Altuve. That's his.
No.
That's not mine.
You people don't know anything. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, why Chaz McCormick? Why? What Dusty thinks of OPS? On the other side, it's kind of funny. On the other side, right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, it was the underdog that he wouldn't know what it was, Lance.
Underdog Fantasy Sports is waiting for your sign-up, and when you use promo code Lance, you're going to get a match of up to $100. So if you put $500 in, you get $600. If you put $60 in, you get $120 that's in your account. Okay, it's easy to figure out the math. Now that we got that settled, I want to tell you about Best Ball Mania 3. It's one of the hottest games in the fantasy football world, and here's why. You pay $25 for a chance to get into the prize pool of $10 million. How do you do it? Well, you draft your team, and you're drafting in pods of 12 owners, right? So you draft a regular snake draft. Once you're done, whatever your highest scores are for a particular week for your quarterbacks, tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, and, of course, one of those players is going to end up being a flex player for you, that's your score for the week. And they aggregate those scores each week. And once you are done, once the first 14 weeks are finished, that's considered round one. Whoever is in first place is going to win $1 million. It could be you. And once you are done with the entire fantasy football season for Best Ball Mania 3, where you have no starters, you don't have to start, you don't have to do waiver wires, whatever your team is throughout the season, well, guess what? You have an opportunity, if your score's high enough, to get into that prize pool of $10 million. I got in there last year. You can get in there this year. Make sure you go to underdogfantasy.com and download the apps on your phone. It's easy to have drafts on your phone. It's $25 an entry. Get as many entries. I mean, load up. Get 8 entries in there, 10 entries in there. While you're at it, play the over-under game that they have. Play the rivalry game. Play daily fantasy baseball. They've got that going on right now as well. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code Lance.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I'm going to task you with staying smooth today. This feels like a smooth Friday. So far, we've had, I can't remember the name of the, I've got the song and I listen to it all the time, but the first one, I can't remember who sings. It's like a one-off song.
Yeah, The Foreign Exchange?
The Foreign Exchange, yeah. S.G. Lewis has a really good one. Two that I'll bring. I'll bring you back with some. I'll give you some also to play. We'll see if we can stay smooth, John. We'll see if RJ can just keep it on the same mellow playlist for the whole day.
It is mellow. It's that's nice.
It's
that's
smooth,
good stuff.
And it matches Framber Valdez. Framber now has 49 consecutive quality starts.
No, it's not that much.
It is a world record. It is the most, actually. It's 20 now. It's not 19, right? It's up to 20.
Up to 20.
It's the most since Jacob DeGrom did it in 2018-2019. It spread over two seasons, and DeGrom had 26 consecutive. Just to reiterate for people what a quality start is. Quality start is you must go six innings completed, and you must give up three earned runs or less. You must give up three earned runs or less, and you must go six innings completed. Now, I will say, that used to be kind of clownish when we would talk about it. The quality start seemed like not a big deal. But with pitch counts being what they are, with teams taking a very strict adherence to pitch counts nowadays to help minimize the damage done by little league pitching and curveballs at the age of four and those weekend getaways where some of you guys have to leave every weekend turns into a trip to someplace in Louisiana or Oklahoma where you play seven baseball games in 2 days. Yeah, they got to kind of bounce, you know, get the arms to bounce back a little bit, and so it's hardcore pitch counts now and six man rotations, and it's kind of rare to see this type of run for quality starts. Honestly, I mean, you could just get roughed up in a game. That's the easiest part. Look at this 3-run homer in the first inning, and Framber has been in some major pickles in the first inning of games. In fact, he's given up 3 runs in a first inning before and still pulled quality starts?
Well, together. Just a couple of starts ago,
yeah,
he was through six innings and he had, I don't think he gave up, or he hadn't given up any runs. He gets to the seventh inning, he gives up 3. Seth Martinez comes in with second and third, I believe, and one out. And Martinez gets out of the jam without giving up one more run. Otherwise, it would have ended the streak for Framber. And, you know, Seth Martinez had to save him, which was, it was awesome.
Remember that time Framber had like 83 pitches? He had 83 pitches after 4 innings, I think it was. He had had some real problems in the first inning. And I thought, okay, well, it's over now. Then he goes 6 pitches in the next 2 innings and gets his quality start. It was incredible. It was like 4 starts ago. Framber, I'm looking at from Inside Edge. So Inside Edge is what the Astros use on a broadcast. I'm doing some consulting for the guy who runs this, trying to I've got it for NFL and college teams. I'm trying to get the Texans to use this and Matt Money Smith with the Chargers. It's a phenomenal query tool. And a lot of the stuff that you hear Todd Callis and especially Jeff Blum use comes from Inside Edge. Here's some of the numbers on Framber, John. Opponents have a ground ball rate of 68% against Framber, best among qualified starting pitchers in the Major League Baseball. Right-handers have a ground ball rate of 68% against Framber. That's the very best. Hitters have chased 44 of Framber's 302 elevated fastballs, which is actually the lowest in MLB. So that's obviously not good. You want him to chase more. But his ground ball rate stuff, ground ball and slider and curves, best in baseball. Line drive rates, opponents have a line drive rate of only 19% against Framber's pitches in the strike zone. That's the lowest in Major League Baseball dating back to last year. Only 19% line drives. So, in other words, People, he's only allowed, he's only given up 7 home runs all year long. Fromber keeps the ball down. Fromber, when you do put bat on the ball, you are not hitting the ball hard relative to the rest of Major League Baseball. And 76% of his thrown fastballs, how about this? Fromber's thrown fastballs 76% of the time when he's behind in the count. You would think someone would pick that up and catch up on, okay, he's behind in the count, he's come with a fastball, and they yank him out of the park. It's just not happening. With 2 strikes, he throws curveballs 53% of the times. And then once he gets ahead of you, your swing and miss rate and batting average against when he's throwing curveballs on and sliders on 2 strikes is basically nothing. Basically, you here it is. Opponents are hitting 133 against Fromber's curve and slider since the start of last season, which is second best in baseball.
That's awesome. So cleaning up the show here. It's 19 consecutive quality starts.
It is 19.
20
okay,
overall.
Yeah.
19.
What is the
consecutive.
20 overall goes back to last year?
No, 20 overall is the first start this year, and then he had a 3-inning start, and then he had a four and a third inning start.
You.
And then he and this streak started on April 25th. April 25th, and every start after has been it's 19 consecutive 20 overall. Unbelievable. He's just been awesome. Just awesome. So you got your first two. You know what? Let's go to the Brandon Bakke, RJ, because we talked about this a little bit earlier. Lance McCullers is coming back, right? And and Brandon Bakke was talking about him, Lance McCullers. Like, is this on his podcast? Brandon Bakke is talking about Lance.
No, he was on the Wheelhouse.
It's on the Oh, he was on the Wheelhouse?
Yeah.
Okay.
He
was on the Wheelhouse. He was in studio with the guys?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm in Washington, so I didn't hear it. I was actually watching the game on my phone on YouTube, which was awesome. I love when the Astros are on YouTube because that's awesome. But he talked about Lance McCullers coming back and pitching for his job in the playoff rotation.
Unfortunately, Lance has to understand that he is actually competing for a job. He is. But like I said, the rotation that they've had up to this point has been great, has been one of the best in the league. He's got some big shoes to fill, even though we know Lance McCullers and how well he can pitch. And if he can come back the way he normally is, there's not going to be any hesitation to put in him the number 3 or number 4 starter. No doubt. But if he struggles, there's going to be a big decision on Dusty's part or the rest of the coaching staff to figure out where he's going to be implemented into this rotation and how they're going to use him going forward into the playoffs, because right now you can only predict that he's going to be who he normally is. And if he is, Javier goes to the bullpen because Javier's been there and he can do that. He's shown that he is capable of going back and forth to starting rotation and in the bullpen and pitch well in both. So then you only have 4 starters in the playoffs. Maybe even 3 in the first round. So is it going to be Garcia or Lance McCullers? So Lance has got to jump 2 guys to even become a starter in the playoffs, especially for the first round.
Yep. Agree. I mean, he is pitching for now.
Facts.
I wouldn't be
well,
sad.
Now, wait. Let me reintroduce some Dusty to the show. Does Lance McCullers – now, this is tricky because Dusty didn't see Lance the first year Dusty came in, right? When Dusty came in, Lance wasn't there. Last year, Lance was and was an integral part of the team until he got hurt. Does Dusty feel some type of way about Lance emotionally as a veteran on the team who helped to get here? Or maybe Brandon Bakke is wrong? Maybe if Lance is solid, Lance jumps ahead of some pitchers – despite maybe not out pitching them?
That's a possibility.
I think it's a possibility.
You know, Lance got you. Actually, Lance got you to the World Series last year. So
yeah,
and then shut it down. Lance was he was integral. He really was. So there might be some of that. Although these guys, I mean, Urquidy the way that he has thrown, Javier the way that he has thrown, Garcia. He's scuffled a little bit of late and hasn't been. I think it's Urquidy that he has to jump for that third start. I really do. I think Urquidy is right now your third starter if you go to the postseason right now. But you know what? Who knows what Pawpaw's thinking? I do know what Pawpaw's thinking about OPS, and we promise we'll play it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. You'll hear him tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's got the longest-running show on ESPN. John Clay Wolf has the longest-running show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's dude's nuts. He's just nuts. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Frankie yesterday. She had forgotten that, you know, she had gotten that money from John Clay Wolf, and she was like thrilled. She'd forgotten. Oh, I've got that money too. That's awesome. Yeah, you got that money from John Clay Wolf because John Clay Wolf gave you more than that vehicle that you beat up was worth. Now, I do not recommend that you beat up a car like Frankie does. I do recommend, though, that when you want to sell it, you sell it to John Clay Wolf because he will give you more, just like he gave us more than Frankie's car was worth. He will give you more for your car. It's just what John Clay Wolf does every single time. And he says, if I can't beat CarMax, I will give you $100. That's right. And you know what he never does? Gives you $100 because he always beats CarMax. So if you're looking to sell that vehicle, there's one place to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Follow me, my darling. See my sons playing on their minds. Now believe my darling, feel it inside.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's a smooth Friday.
We call that a quiet storm.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 playing the smooth hits this morning on ESPN. Yeah, baby. All right. So we'll get to this Chaz McCormick thing. Okay, so Chaz McCormick apparently, I've got to look up his splits here. Chaz McCormick apparently, one of the guys asking questions of Dusty before the game yesterday said, hey, you got a lefty on the mound today, Reagan's, right? Why aren't you playing Chaz McCormick? He's got 1,000 OPS against lefties this year. That is interesting. I didn't realize that. Okay, versus lefties, .991 is his OPS.
Wow,
.402 on base, .589 slugging, .991 OPS, .623 against right-handers. So. Here's Dusty answering why he didn't play Chaz McCormick against the lefty.
While he was gone, I'm just wondering, the way Chaz McCormick has swung the bat against lefties this year, I think his OPS is over 1,000. Not only while you're out, but just season long, why do you guys not play him more against lefties?
Well, I mean, Diaz was hot as hell. You know, there's only one other place for him to play. He wasn't going to play in front of Tucker. You know what I mean? And and it depends on which lefty I match him up against. See, he didn't play against every lefty. It depends on which lefty. I mean, he faced a couple lefties yesterday and struck out a couple times, too. You know what I mean? So, and some of it depends on who's pitching for us and who I need in center field. And I needed Dubon yesterday in center field. And as hot as Diaz is, I need him in left field. You know, you can't play them. You can't play everybody every day, and at the same time, I'm trying to play the best lineup that I think, you know, to win on that day. Not only offensively, OPS is one thing, defense is another thing, fly ball pitcher is one thing. Yesterday, I think it was Verlander who's a fly ball pitcher. Had it been maybe Framber, might have been different. You know what I mean? So. I mix and match depending on what I need that day offensively, defensively, how many consecutive day after night. I mean, there's a it's just not straight OPS. That's fan stuff.
Following up. That's not just fan stuff. I get that fans are much more into it now, but that's also team analytics stuff. But Dusty's got the scouting reports. I mean, Maybe Dusty, you know, Dusty obviously knows more about the inner workings of how it's put together on the team side than we do, clearly, because he's on the team. So when he says things like that's fan stuff, well, maybe the team is not taking into account just pure OPS from a game plan standpoint. Let's just be real, though. Dusty's a player who played in the 60s and 70s. Dusty is a manager who has 2,000 wins, which means he's managed a long time. Dusty's in his, I think, late 70s. He's not going to be a guy who's all in on analytics. That's not even remotely possible.
No, but you got to know that your guy hits against – I didn't realize that Chaz was that good against lefties. But he was talking about yesterday, Cole Reagans is a left-hander too. And Fromber's a ground ball pitcher. So you could have – I mean, that he could have played yesterday. So, I mean, listen – I don't think Pawpaw's using analytics. I just don't think that he's all that into it. I get it. But OPS is fan stuff? Okay.
Yeah, that's not – it's just not accurate. So the Wheelhouse had a question. No, I don't know if it's Killer Bees or Wheelhouse. One of them had a question that they – I'll throw this one out there. Are you done – are the Astros done with Dusty regardless of – performance this year, whether they lose early in the playoffs, win a World Series, is this it for Dusty? And would you be okay with this being it for Dusty if they win a World
Series?
Yeah,
because I think it's time for Joe Espada.
It was meant to be a short-term deal. That's originally what it was meant to be, a wait and see on both sides. And Dusty was, you know, Dusty frankly doesn't need this job. Dusty's got his wine, number one. But Dusty even, you know, it was a known thing that if Dusty didn't like it, he was out of there. Dusty was a handpicked guy to help shepherd the Astros through a very difficult time with cheating scandal and all that. And he was good for that. And the players bought into Dusty, and they've been good. But Dusty, I hate that this show becomes so Dusty-centric, because there's so much more to talk about than just a manager's lineup decisions with guys. Frankly, you could mix and match a lineup. At times, it kind of feels like what – we used to have to watch with AJ Hinch having to try to figure out how to make the bullpen work, and no matter who he went to is going to be the wrong choice because they all sucked in the playoffs. But, you know, I think Dusty can do whatever he wants to with the lineup, and the bottom line is they're just not hitting well this year. I don't think any way that he wants to reorganize the lineup, the Astros are probably going to be a team that's a very good offensive team relative to what we're used to. That's just a fact. It still doesn't change the fact that some of the things that he's doing, you know, is a little puzzling to us, and we're going to talk about that stuff. With that said, though, John, this was supposed to be a short-term deal. I'd say 3 years is long enough.
Yeah, I do, too. I think this is probably it, I would imagine. I don't know. We'll see what if Jim Crane wants to bring him back, but there are so many decisions. And, by the way, Joe Espada's sitting there, and you might lose Joe Espada. And everybody, well, who's Joe Espada? Well, Dusty's got to get it done this year. And this is what – these are the kind of things that have really, you know, infuriated the other teams. I mean, Dusty has got over 2,000 wins. He's a great manager. He knows more baseball than we'll ever know. He's forgotten more baseball than we'll ever know. I get it all. But there are a lot of decisions that he makes that have infuriated fan bases before. Just about everywhere he's gone.
Oh, yeah, not just Houston. No, exactly.
No. No,
you said Cub fans were really hot.
Oh my God!
Him, right?
When I was in Chicago for the playoffs, White Sox and Astros, they were like, "You can have Dusty. I mean, you can have him." They were like, "We just couldn't take it anymore." And it's decisions like this. Listen, Dusty's great. They got the best record in baseball, 72-41. They're a half game ahead of the Yankees. They had the best record yesterday because they've got the tiebreaker against the Yankees anyway. But they're 72-41. We got to stop complaining about Dusty, but it sure would be nice if he threw out lineups that were, you know, at least they made some sense sometimes. But oh well, they're 72-41. We got the best. If nitpicking about the lineup is what we have to do, you know, if that's all we got to complain about, we got a pretty good baseball team, that's for sure. I'm looking at a list here, Lance, of why every contender will and won't win the World Series. The Yankees, they say in large part because Aaron Judge, with the season that he's having, why they won't win the World Series is because of their starting pitching. Garrett Cole was atrocious in the wild card game last year. Nestor Cortes has never pitched in a playoff game. Frankie Montas came to the Bronx after an injury scare in Oakland and got shelled in his first start. The Yankees are putting a lot of stock in that trio leading the postseason, but if they don't win, it's because of the starting pitching. The Astros, the reason they will win the World Series is because of the starting pitching. Yordan Alvarez is having a great year, but the story this year has been Justin Verlander. He has just been unbelievable, and the rest of the starters have been fantastic as well. They do have getting production from Jose Altuve. Now Alec Bregman's coming around. They're looking pretty, you know, that's great. The veterans are stepping up. The reason the Astros won't win the World Series is because of their bullpen. While their starters have been unbelievable, Rafael Montero, Hector Neris have never pitched in the playoffs. Throw in Brian Abreu, who has just one disappointing postseason appearance, and it's reasonable to worry about Houston's ability to get the ball from their starters to Ryan Pressly. You agree?
I'm not all in on the relievers. Neris has had his issues, we know. I still think Ryan Pressly still is going to have to do it in clutch situations against the best lineups that he faces, but he certainly has been very good since a little bit of a bumpy start. Brian Abreu, I don't trust in a postseason appearance. I mean, that's just not somebody I'm going to trust until I trust him. You know what I mean? He's going to have to do it in the postseason. I did not realize that about Montero and Neris. I just never really thought about it, pitching in a postseason. This is a pretty new – it's a new bullpen. It's a pretty new bullpen relative to – I mean, I don't want to see Maton anymore as a pitcher. So he's going to come in again. I know how Dusty rolls, but if you go to the Astros, if you went to Baseball Reference and you went to the Astros last year, the bullpen last year. Can you remember the bullpen last year? Do you remember the guy that Dusty refused to give us a break from, and then he actually got a little bit hot in the postseason? Who's the guy that Dusty refused?
Maton.
No. You're forgetting him already. There was a guy that Dusty would not give us a break. Like, oh, Dusty, not again. Dusty, please stop. Do you remember?
Who? No.
It's hard to remember from year to year.
Graveman?
Yimmy.
Oh, yeah, Yimmy. Oh, my gosh.
Remember how Yimmy was pitching every day? Yimmy.
But Yimmy,
a break from Yimmy.
Yimmy actually pitched in the postseason.
Yeah, in the postseason. Yeah. Well, it
was the same.
It was during the White Sox
series. It was the same as Maton, though. Maton wasn't good, and then Maton was great in the postseason. Graveman was good during the regular season and sucked in the postseason. I mean, he kept going to Yimmy, thank goodness, because Yimmy actually stepped up in the playoffs.
Yimmy did, not at first, but then eventually he did. It was hard to. So here was your bullpen last year. Ryan Pressly, Christian Javier, Ryan Stanek, that all looks familiar. Brooks Raley. Blake Taylor. We've had last year. You had Belak, Abreu, Maton, Graveman, Joe Smith, Yimmy. Well,
oh, Joe Smith.
Joe Smith was atrocious.
Joe Smith was just cut again.
You remember Scrub?
Oh yeah,
you forgot about Andre Scrub.
He's a scrub.
Yeah. Do you remember? Well, I know he wasn't up for very. He had 12 games, but Nivaldo Rodriguez, Rafael. I forgot Montero had games last year. Yeah. Josh James had 5 games. Remember when he was going to be the closer?
Listen, I disagree with this. When you're talking about Stanek, the way he's pitched this year, Neris has been up and down. He started great. Montero's been great. You know, I don't know if Seth Martinez is going to be around, but he's been really good this year for the team. You got Pressly as the closer. You brought in Will Smith, and he's got postseason experience. He's been great in the postseason. Maybe he'll turn his season around and be great in the postseason. I don't think this bullpen is a weakness this
year. Well, no, relative to the question asked, you're right. Okay, so you're going to tell me the reason you won't win. Okay, you have to come up with a reason you will win and a reason you won't win.
I'll tell you the reason that they won't win is because the bats will go dormant. Yeah. That's why they won't win.
That's honestly more likely than the bullpen. Well, I take that back. The bullpen thing relative to historically for the Astros is the more likely thing. But based on just what we've seen, the Astros are more likely to strand a bunch of more likely to strand hitters in scoring position for the two or three times they even get the shot.
Yes. And listen, in years past, the bullpen was wasted by the time you got to the playoffs, to the ALCS and the World Series. This is the most rested bullpen in the league. We're getting better starts out of these starters. This is the least used bullpen in the majors. So they're going to be a lot. Remember how tired Harris was? And, oh, my God, the bullpen, the dude with the hat was crooked and gave up. He was an all-star 1 year, and then he just kept on. Then he just sucked after that. The bullpen has been wasted by the time you get to the World Series. This year, they're going to be one of the strongest bullpens. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. What that article said. All right, 802 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk some Texans football on the other side.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.